Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman, in for Mike Green. Another baby orca recently died. This was the second baby from the same mom that grieved the loss of a previous baby years ago. Joining the JX to help us understand what this means is Brady Bradshaw. He's a senior oceans campaigner at the Center for Biological Diversity. Welcome.
Hi, thanks so much, Charlie. It's good to be here.
Brady, tell us the story of this mama whale and her family.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's a really sad story that we've seen multiple times. Pelequa, otherwise known as J35 by scientists, gave birth to a female calf. This is her second female calf that died after birth. And she's once again started to carry her dead child, seemingly in an act of grief or a demonstration of dismay. That's how it comes across to me. And she's had four children. Two of them females, and both females have died, which is really unfortunate because orcas are a matrilineal society that they have, and it's really important to have females in the population to form the social structure.
Do you have any idea what this baby whale might have died from?
Lack of prey is the largest threat to southern residents. So in the process of giving birth, it's important for the mother to gather a lot of nutrients, just as a pregnant woman, human, would need to, and to be able to raise a healthy child. And then it's also important for that child to be able to eat. Orca's primary food source, the Chinook salmon, are also in decline, and their habitat of the salmon has been severely compromised. So starvation is very common, and it's highly likely that it was just another case of lack of food.
So what are the health conditions of the orca population today? I'm guessing this isn't too much of an outlier considering what you just said.
Right. So a lot of the orcas today are struggling to find food. There have been a lot of documented cases of emaciated bodies. They don't look like you would see an emaciated cat or dog, but there's a pattern that you would, like a peanut type shape that people are able to identify from aerial shots, that shows that these orcas are malnourished. So that's a pretty common sight. And it's again, the top threat to orca survival is lack of food, but it's also compounded by other threats like shipping noise, disturbance, as well as just the food sources that they're getting being poisoned by pollutants. And so we have a lot of work to do to help these orcas recover.
Well, and let's back up a little bit and just go over, what is the Center for Biological Diversity? What do you do in general? And what is your role in these orca populations?
Yes, the Center for Biological Diversity is an organization that works primarily in the United States. But our concern is saving life on Earth. So that's our tagline, and that's our mission, is to prevent extinction, to help uphold biodiversity on the planet Earth. And my role is focused on oceans, and the southern resident killer whale has been a big focus of ours and many other organizations. Because they're endangered, and they've been endangered for a really long time.
So do you only monitor endangered populations, or, you know, because all populations are part of the ecosystem, do you kind of monitor thriving populations as well?
Right. I mean, some of our focus has to do with just large-scale threats like climate change, major polluting projects that would impact many endangered species all at once that live in one ecosystem. So, you know, our focus is preserving biodiversity, but that often, of course, biodiversity is kind of the fabric of all ecosystems on the planet. And so we're inhabiting all these ecosystems. And so, yeah, our focus often goes into a bit more macro scale, and we can tend to focus on large scale projects like the expansion of offshore drilling is a major focus for me. And I just, you know, the knowing that that can impact, one oil spill could impact so many species, endangered or not, and then, you know, have permanent impacts on ecosystems.
And how are you able to monitor the orcas without physically being in contact with them and physically having them, you know, I'm guessing you don't keep them in a tank like some organizations would.
Right. There are several organizations that monitor orcas by going and reporting on, you know, what individuals were seen. You can identify specific orcas by the markings that they have. And also, some people have used acoustic monitoring to identify specific sounds of different pods and different groups of orcas and even individuals. So we're able to track the orcas pretty closely and kind of keep tabs on their numbers.
My guest is Brady Bradshaw. He's a senior oceans campaigner at the Center for Biological Diversity. We're talking about the recent loss of another baby orca and what that means. So what is the role of killer whales in the ecosystem? Why are they so important?
Well, killer whales in general play a very important role as a keystone predator. So predators are large species that hunt on the levels below them, can help keep populations of their prey in check and also keep, kind of maintain a balance of the way that the food web works. Killer whales are there are many different types. There's transient killer whales, which can be found all the way from Baja California up to Alaska. And that's a different type of killer whale than the endangered ones that we're talking about. They hunt mammals, the large whales that kind of travel long distances. They're mainly mammal eaters. The ones that we're focused on and that are kind of Oregon's local killer whale are the southern resident killer whale. And they specialize in incredibly specifically on eating salmon, but a few like raisin skates as well, which are skates are similar to rays for folks that don't know, like stingrays. But the majority of their food is Chinook salmon, and a lot of that occurs in the Puget Sound, but also along the coastlines and the river mouths in Oregon and Washington.
So what do you expect to change about that, considering that the Klamath dams have all been removed and the salmon is beginning to respond there and grow in numbers? Do you expect that to have a significant impact on the orca population in the next few years?
Yeah, we're really happy that Oregon took bold leadership in removing the Klamath dams. Dam removal is extremely important, and those impacts are going to take a long time, but the orcas are in a dire situation right now, and they need a lot more help. So last year, Oregon also took the step to list the southern resident killer whales as an endangered species in the state, which gives them additional state protections on top of the ones that they already received from the federal government. And it really is an all-hands-on-deck effort that agencies from the federal government to the state of Washington, up in Canada, and also Oregon now, state agencies are taking a look at what they can do to help support the southern resident killer whales.
And is it possible to give farmed salmon to these orcas just temporarily to help save them while the natural salmon population is regenerating?
Right. I mean, this is the kind of thing that It's a little bit controversial. Hatchery salmon or farmed salmon, it's important to get these salmon to the orcas now. It's, as I said, it's an emergency situation. They need food, but long term, there are significant concerns with hatchery salmon because they can become genetically weaker and sort of genetically contaminate the wild salmon population. And it's really important for us to restore the wild ecosystems the way that they're meant to function, so that, you know, we don't end up with a collapse of the salmon population due to genetic weakening.
And would it be possible just to give them already dead salmon, or does it have to be live?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they would recognize dead salmon as a food. I think a lot of the culture is kind of built in and to the way that they the way that the orcas hunt, and probably introducing dead salmon could have really unintended consequences, like the orcas could waste time and energy going to a place where they were fed salmon from humans. That's another really big concern, is just behavioral interference. Like, we don't want to form a dependency and then end up distracting or taking away from the orca's natural hunting habits.
So what exactly would a healthy orca population look like?
So what we know is that prior to the kind of hunt for orcas to fill aquariums in the 60s and 70s, there was a pretty healthy population, maybe even less so, because before that there was a lot of hunting of orcas just because they competed for fish. So people were killing and shooting orcas before that time, but I don't have a good sense of what the population numbers were. We do know that they lost about 50 orcas during the aquarium trade hunt, and then they ended up with about, I think, about 80, 90 individuals, and now we're down to 73. And it's incredibly important to have, like, it's genetic diversity, so we're not going to end up with like an Adam and Eve scenario where we have a couple orcas left and they're able to repopulate the whole population. We have to have a lot of genetic diversity and cultural diversity within the population for them to be able to function as they have for hundreds of thousands of years.
And I know when it comes to wolves, reintroducing them kind of had positive impacts, sort of the whole food chain down, because they were the apex predators. Is there similar things with orcas?
Yes, orcas play a role in maintaining several levels of the food web. So one thing that was really interesting is, you know, on the Pacific coast, there was a sort of an association between the orcas and the like sea otter population. I think there was some switching of prey to sea otters, and not the orcas that we're talking about up in the Puget Sound, but because they started to hunt sea otters, there was a decrease in that population and then an explosion in sea urchins, and the sea urchins then took out all the kelp forests. So there are things like that that, you know, there's a sort of a trickle effect of how large predators can play a role in the entire ecosystem.
All right, so we have about 1 minute left. What can ordinary people do to support orcas and support the work of your center?
So I just want to recap quickly the main threats, which is lack of prey. And that's number one, the most important. I think people need to be really conscious about what kind of salmon you're consuming, king salmon, Chinook salmon. That's that kind of food is incredibly important to leave to the orcas. They need it right now, and we need to let them have it. Also, boating. There was a new vessel buffer introduced of 1,000 yards, staying away from orcas in Washington, and I think that's important for everyone to know, that if you see orcas in the water, that you shouldn't approach them because it can disturb their ability to hunt for food, which is really important for them.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you very much, Brady, for sharing your work with us.
All right. Thank you.